You're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're studying 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In last week's lesson, we discussed the new covenant compared with the old covenant. We said that the old covenant was the giving of the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments, and that that old covenant was between God and the children of Israel. A covenant is an agreement. It is a contract between two individuals, or else two groups of people. Most of the time, a covenant or a contract is between a person who has more power than the other person. One person is giving and one person is receiving. You contract with a builder to build your house. Well, the builder has power over you because he is the one doing the building. Yet you have power over the contractor because you hold the money strings. You pay him. He has to do a good job or he may not receive pay. The contract that God had with the children of Israel in the wilderness was that type of contract. God promised that he would give them the promised land, that he would take them into a land flowing with milk and honey. But he wanted them to obey his laws. God chose a certain group of people and a certain person, Abraham. The promises of the old covenant were to the seed of Abraham. There was a physical promise and there was a spiritual promise. One was the land of Israel. The other was that all the families of the earth would be blessed, which means outside of the land of Israel. All the earth would be blessed through the seed of Abraham. So that couldn't possibly mean just the nation of Israel. It had to mean the whole world through the Messiah who would bring us the new covenant of eternal life, to give us righteousness. The descendants of Abraham became the children of Israel, and they were led into bondage in Egypt, and the Pharaoh kept them there for 400 years. But God saw their distress, and he sent Moses to deliver them from the hand of Pharaoh. God had not forgotten the promise that he made to Abraham. And we all know the story, how that with a strong hand, God delivered the children of Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. They went into the wilderness around Mount Sinai. They wandered for 40 years in that wilderness because they wouldn't obey God. God gave Moses the Ten Commandments before he could even give the tablets of stone to the children of Israel. They had already broken them. They were never able to keep the Ten Commandments. They worshipped idols. For 2,000 years, God struggled with them. He even called them his wife. If you read over in Hosea, you read where God gives them a bill of divorcement. What, you say? God divorced the children of Israel? No, the children of Israel abandoned him because they couldn't keep the Ten Commandments and they worshipped idols. It was spiritual adultery that they committed. But did God forsake them? No, he continually loved them and wanted them to return to him. But he wanted them to be faithful. And so the children of Israel were scattered throughout all the world, and we know that they are brought back into the land of Israel today. But they still hang on to the old covenant of Moses that God gave them in the wilderness of the law of Moses. They have a veil over their eyes. They don't see that Jesus is the Messiah and that He has redeemed their souls, and therefore there is a new covenant with God and Jesus. The new covenant is between God and a man, Jesus Christ. We know Jesus is God, but He came to earth as a man. He came to earth as the second Adam, so that God could give us a new covenant, which is righteousness. He gives us something that we can't give ourselves. I said a contract, if you build a new house, is between the owner of the new home and the builder. Now, the owner of the new home does not know how to build that house. He can't build that house. If he could, then he'd do it himself, wouldn't he? And that's the same way with the new covenant. We can't make ourselves new. We've got to have the Lord Jesus Christ, who made a covenant with God and fulfill the righteousness that's in the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses. Because you see, the Ten Commandments and the Law of Moses is a holy law, and it takes a holy person to fulfill it. And Jesus is the only candidate that we have. God sent Him purposefully to do that. Now you might say, why didn't God send Jesus then at the first? Why didn't He send Him to Abraham? It would have had the same results. Either you believe or you don't believe. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man died and went to hell, and Lazarus, the poor cripple who had begged at his gate in rags for crumbs from the rich man's table, you remember he was in the bosom of Abraham. That was before Jesus released all the saints from the bosom of Abraham when He rose from the dead and took them to paradise. Lazarus is in paradise now with Jesus. Before Jesus rose from the grave, the devil had the saints in captivity. They were not in hell in torment. They were in a different place. The people in hell could look across a great gulf and see the saints in the bosom of Abraham. You know what the bosom of Abraham is? It's the covenant. It's the old covenant that God had with Abraham, that if they would believe the promise, they were in that covenant. When they believed the promise that God gave to Abraham and to Moses, that promise culminated in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. In essence, if you believed the old covenant, you believed in the new covenant, Paul tells us. So unbelief of the old covenant will be unbelief of the new covenant. The rich man looked at Lazarus and he told Abraham to send Lazarus with a drop of water to cool his tongue because he was tormented. God told him there's a great gulf between Lazarus and you and he can't cross over. Then the rich man said, well, send someone to my brothers so they don't come to this place. Jesus said, they have Moses, they have the prophets. If they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe though Lazarus be raised from the dead and speak to them. Israel is blinded in part, and that's the veil, meaning that they are blinded in part because of the gospel's sake to the Gentiles. Unbelief is a choice. God had a banquet. He invited all the rich, the well-dressed people. He invited everyone to His wonderful banquet. the people that were chosen refused to come to the banquet. So God had another party. He says, go and get anyone you can find, the maimed, the lame, the blind, the hungry, the poor, and bring them to my banquet, because there's food for all. We must realize that Satan has blinded with a veil. He wants to blind us from seeing Jesus. And he has blinded most of the world. They can't see the righteousness that's in Christ. They want to make their own. They don't need Jesus. But there's no righteousness apart from him. And that's what the new covenant is. The new covenant is a covenant between Jesus and God, that if Jesus would obey his Father and give his life on the cross for the sins of all mankind, God would take his fulfillment of the law and he would automatically give it to all who believed in the new covenant as an inheritance. Our inheritance, it's righteousness. Righteousness gives us eternal life. The life that Jesus is going to give you, if you'll read the last part of Revelation, has no sickness and no sorrow. There's love abundant, peace and joy and happiness. We'd like to have life. We want to do things. Don't you think that's what heaven's going to be? It's going to be the life that is good. He wants us to enjoy what he's made for us. And heaven is going to be so much greater than this earth is. There's wonderful things in this earth. You can look and see the handiwork of God. If God made a tree, he knew the children would climb it, right? If he made a river, didn't he know we'd fish in it? And if he made a body of water, didn't he know we'd swim in it? Didn't he know that if he made grass, that we would want to roll in it? And if he made flowers, that we would want to pick them? The blue skies declare his glory, while the green meadows are his carpet. The mountains rise up to greet him. The oceans bow down in their depth. The stars twinkle at his promise, and at his command, the earth turns dust to gold. All belongs to God, and there's no greater power. His beauty shows throughout this land, from tender leaves in spring to gentle breezes in fall. And his mercy is lovely. So lovely is your mercy, O Lord, on weary souls that call. The dew of morning shows your kindness, even as quiet snowflakes fall. Your mercy endures forever. Grace gives the shining sun its reason. All creation gives you praise for each season. God is in control. He's in control of this entire universe. He's in control of our lives if we let him. But we must believe in what he says. He's made a covenant with us, and we are children of the covenant. He talks about this covenant in 2 Corinthians 4. He calls it a treasure. And I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation. It's a treasure in fragile clay jars, Paul says. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, now we said last week, that what he means there in that first verse is the new covenant. The New Living Translation calls it the new way. The King James Version calls it the ministry But it's actually the new covenant that he's talking about. He says, therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new covenant, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this, Paul says. And if the good news, which is another word for the new covenant, we preach is hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from people who are perishing. They're perishing because they don't believe in the new covenant. And Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news, the new covenant. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, meaning his righteousness. He is the exact likeness of God. You see, Paul said, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that's seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. So this makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Paul talks here about his ministry. We don't have the power to obey God, as the children of Israel didn't have the power. Neither do we. Even to this day, we must have the power of Christ living within us. He says in verse 8, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but we are never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. And through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus Christ, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. What Paul is saying is he's in the ministry of spreading the good news of the new covenant, but it's cost him something. He's had to endure much persecution and hardship to bring the Corinthians the message of the new covenant. And he says that he has willingly become a servant of Jesus Christ and the message because he loves the Lord and he also loves those he ministers to. In verse 13 he says, but we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke up. Meaning David, when you really know about the Lord Jesus, you can't stay quiet. You have to witness. He said in verse 14, we know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there'll be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. That's why we never give up, Paul said. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. This new covenant of Jesus Christ is a forever covenant. It was prophesied in Deuteronomy 18 and 15 that God would send Jesus. Leviticus 23 and 29, Genesis 12 and 13, the Lord tells how he's going to bless all the families upon the earth, and he's meaning through the Messiah. Acts 3 and 25 says, all the prophets from Samuel on down said the same thing. They said most emphatically that the days would come, the prophets along with the covenant God made with their ancestors are your family tree. God's covenant word to Abraham provides the text, by your offspring all the families of the earth will be blessed. As a child of God, we are children of the covenant. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the promised seed. And that's the seed that God told Abraham and all the kindreds of the earth would be blessed. And he is the fulfillment of the law. The New Covenant Scriptures is found in Galatians 4:4 through 5. The New Living Translation says, but when the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So the old covenant, we were treated as servants, but under the new covenant, we're treated as sons. We are children. We are a child of the covenant. The Jews and the Gentiles both are under the new covenant to become the church, the body of Christ. Our privileges as being the children of God is in Romans 8 and 15. If the Spirit be in us, Christ is in us. He dwells in our heart by faith. In Romans 4 and 13, Matthew Henry says, we receive this promise of the new covenant through the righteousness of faith. The promise was made to Abraham long before the law, points at Christ, and it refers to the promise. The nature and power of Abraham's faith is shown. He believed God's testimony, and he looked for the performance of his promise. When a case looks hopeless, it is because of the weakness of our faith, and it hinders the performance of the promise when we have unbelief. It's like a veil over our eyes. Unbelief is at the bottom of all staggerings at God's promise. The strength of faith appeared in its victory over fears. And God honors faith, and great faith honors God. Even our faith is imputed to us for righteousness. Faith is the grace that of all others gives glory to God. Faith clearly is the instrument by which we receive the righteousness of God. We can only have Christ by faith. When my father died, my brother brought me the bottom part of a box that once held Old Spice aftershave. The top part of the box was missing, and it was in a khaki shirt sleeve that had been ripped from the shirt from the elbow down. This piece of sleeve was old and full of holes and had paint on it where my father had painted concrete yard furniture to sell in his business. The box held only a few things, old pictures from the 1920s, a pocket knife, and pictures of his grandsons, and some trinkets. I understood most of the things that he kept, but there was two things I didn't understand. There was an old shaving mug and an old razor. The mug was made of the same type of material that an earthen crock pot or crock pitcher would be made of. It was so old it later broke from age. I believe it was his father's. His mother had died when he was 4 years old, and he adored his father. He didn't have many keepsakes of him, but a few pictures and perhaps this mug and razor. It was an earthen treasure in an earthen vessel. You might say, well, that wasn't much of an inheritance. Yes, you're right. I didn't inherit material wealth, but I inherited something much more than that. Because my father showed me the love of God. I had a friend who never knew who her father was, and she told me she had trouble relating to God as a father. I knew that my father loved me, and even after he's been gone these 29 years, I can still feel his love. The message of love that he left me reminds me of the Heavenly Father and his message of love that he left in the New Covenant. Verse 7 tells of a treasure and a vessel of a different kind. It's not an earthen treasure in an earthen vessel, but it's an earthen vessel with a heavenly treasure. It's the kingdom of God living in the born again, living in a weak earthly creature that is transformed by the power of the Spirit to be holy, a changed vessel to be molded, to become strong as Christ is strong. What a powerful message our Father has left us in the New Covenant. What great love the Father has for us that He has given us this New Covenant where we can fulfill the law through Jesus Christ, His Son. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, I am so thankful for the New Covenant which gives us liberty. And I'm thankful for your righteousness that you give to me and you impart unto me when I am born again. In my soul you live, Jesus. In my soul your face shines forth because I am born again. We know, Father, that we are nothing without you. We are a clay jar without you, easily broken. But in you, Father, when that jar is broken and we are humble before you, comes forth the fragrance of Jesus Christ who lives in us. We believe in you, Lord. We trust in you. And we know that you will present us holy and faultless in that day. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
Later.